Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Dave Leventhal joining us this morning, Deputy Washington Bureau Chief for Business Insider. And it's primary day around here, Dave. Now, in Washington, the Senate is getting ready for a showdown today, a test vote on the For the People Act, a sweeping elections bill. What kind of reforms are we talking about here?
We're talking about a whole suite of reforms, and they are election reforms, ballot box reforms, campaign finance reforms, and ethics reforms, just to name a few. And the bottom line, though, Susan, is this is probably going nowhere really fast. The Democrats just simply don't have the votes in the Senate, where the filibuster, which requires 60 votes for a piece of legislation like this to move forward, they just don't have those 60 votes, and they're not going to get them. In fact, Senator Kyrsten Sinema, a Democrat from Arizona, wrote in a Washington Post editorial piece today, op-ed piece, that she supports the filibuster, and she says that it's something that is good for democracy, and why would you put something forward and pass something today that's only going to get overturned 2, 4, 6 years from now anyway? That's the argument she's making, and she's a Democrat, so coupled with all the Republicans who definitely oppose it, the Democrats just are out of luck right now.
Okay, well, it's interesting to look at. You know, we're talking so much about this child tax credit, the enhanced child tax credit, passed as part of that big bill earlier on. It's basically replacing the old tax credit with monthly payments. So it's more money over the course of a year and happening on a monthly basis, little by little, instead of just that one chunk that you get around tax time. There's a big push to raise awareness of this. I'm trying to, picture in my head, though, what exactly they need to raise awareness for. I mean, if you filed your taxes, you're getting the credit, but even if you didn't file your taxes, you might still get the credit, as far as what I'm hearing. What do you know about the push to kind of raise awareness over this?
But you might not necessarily know when it's coming or to expect it. So tax law, I mean, anyone who has filed their taxes and has been just found the experience to be inexplicable and opaque and as difficult to understand as anything out there, you're not alone. And the tax system in the United States, for better or for worse, is incredibly complex, and it's changing, sometimes almost every year, and has bounced back and forth from different ends of the spectrum. And different administrations, of course, from the Trump administration to the Biden administration, have approaches that vary greatly. So as a result, it's pretty hard to keep up as just a regular taxpayer as to what is what, hence the education campaign that's being tacked on to this.
Dave, for those who haven't filed their taxes but want to get in on this, how can they do that?
Well, you're entitled to it if you fit certain criteria. Now, if you're very wealthy, for example, and you are bringing in a significant six-figure income, you're probably not eligible. So that's one thing to know. But if you are making just a kind of a median wage for somebody in your area, somebody in the country, you're going to be entitled to it. So definitely read up on it. And if you have any questions too, probably don't go to the IRS, because these days trying to get anyone on the phone on the IRS is, about as easy as taking a summer trip around the moon and back. But that being said, talk to your tax advisor, talk to somebody who's in the know about these issues. There are definitely a lot of wonderful articles that have been written about this, so do read up and ask questions as to how this is going to personally affect you, because it will affect you potentially on your income level.
Hey, Dave, a lot of eyes on New York City today, and not just because it's a pretty hotly contested primary, but because they're using ranked choice voting, something we've been talking about a lot this morning. This is kind of a new idea here. Is it something you see maybe catching on further than New York City? Is this maybe a big test case for it?
Nationally, no, but pardon me, at the local level, yes. We've seen examples of localities and even states around the country that have flirted with the idea or even used the idea of ranked choice voting, where you're not just going and voting for one candidate, but you're kind of voting for multiple candidates. There's different systems, different ways to do this, but you're basically picking your first choice, your second choice, and so on and so forth. So that could have a definite and demonstrable effect on the outcome of the election, because if you get to basically score points for your second or your third favorite choice, that's going to mean something to those candidates in addition to the person who you want to win the most.
Is that race wide open?
It's fairly wide open. Andrew Yang, for example, who everyone knows from his time running for president as a Democrat, he was in first place. He's fallen back since. He is hoping for a comeback of sorts in this primary. So we'll see if that happens. But yeah, it's a highly competitive race, multiple candidates, and not just Andrew Yang, but several others ultimately who are going to run. And there are Republicans running, too. But the primary here, a lot of people think that whoever wins the Democratic primary is ultimately going to win the race itself.
All right. Hey, Dave, thanks so much for the time. Dave Leventhal, Deputy Washington Bureau Chief over at Business Insider.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.